It is Sunday, July 12th, and the news cycle isn't taking the day off. Between the burnout crisis in tech and the high-stakes chess match happening on the pitch, there is a lot to catch up on. The 2026 Tech Worker Sentiment Survey is out. According to the data, burnout among tech workers has spiked 11 percentage points this year, hitting 54.7%. Career optimism is down, and the Net Promoter Score for tech roles is falling across every single department. The results are, to put it mildly, grim. Here is the thing. Companies are using AI to speed up workflows, but they are immediately filling that reclaimed time with more work. The expectation for output has risen to match the new speed of the machines. It is a classic case of the productivity paradox. We have the tools to do more, so we are just doing more, which is a hell of a thing to call progress. Workers are feeling a sense of cognitive rot. Because AI handles that first draft, many people feel like they are losing their ability to think through problems from scratch. The professional ladder is effectively being dismantled. Entry-level tasks are being automated, which means junior staff have nowhere to start and no way to learn the ropes. We are essentially creating a bottleneck where the next generation of experts can't actually gain the experience they need to survive. There are two distinct failure modes happening here. You have the productive passenger, who uses AI to coast, and the reluctant optimizer, who tries to maintain high standards but just burns out under the weight of an infinite backlog. It is not just about the tools. It is about the fact that we have turned work into a constant race against a machine that does not get tired. Only 25% of workers rate their managers as highly effective. That is the real problem. In a flat, fast-moving organization, a manager is the only thing standing between an employee and total exhaustion. If they do not push back against the demand for constant speed, the culture just hollows out. Some firms are trying to fix this by rethinking their entire approach. Uber is reportedly experimenting with what they call agentic pods. They are pairing engineers with domain experts to redesign complete processes rather than just automating individual tasks. It is an attempt to move away from using AI as a speed hack and toward using it to solve problems that were previously impossible to touch. Look, the tech industry is at a breaking point. We are treating AI like a software update when we should be treating it like a pedagogical challenge. If you just shove these tools into a broken system, you do not get innovation. You just get faster, more expensive burnout. The goal should be to create what some are calling mental marathoners. These are people who use AI to expand their cognitive agency instead of letting the machine do the heavy lifting for them. But that requires leadership that actually values long-term performance over short-term output. Right now, most companies are failing that test. They are prioritizing raw speed, and it shows. If you are a worker feeling like your brain is slowly turning to mush, you are not alone. You are just working in a system that hasn't figured out that humans aren't meant to run at the speed of a chatbot. Anyway, something to think about. Speaking of high-variance strategies, let's look at how that same pressure is playing out on the pitch. England is currently navigating a high-stakes tournament run. They are leaning heavily on the individual chemistry between Jude Bellingham and Harry Kane. This approach is masking significant defensive gaps and mid-game lulls in their system. It is a high-variance strategy. When Declan Rice leaves the pitch, the team struggles to replace his roaming destroyer role. Thomas Tuchel, that's Tuchel, has been forced to reorganize the midfield on the fly to keep things together. The team is also dealing with physical fatigue. Players like Reece James and Bukayo Saka, that's Bukayo Saka, are currently playing through clear limitations. If these players hit a breaking point, the squad's output could collapse entirely. Here is the thing. Relying on individual brilliance instead of a cohesive structure is a hell of a gamble. It works until it does not. England is essentially betting that their stars can outrun their own defensive instability. That might hold up against some opponents, but it is a shaky foundation for a deep tournament run. They are playing a game of chicken with their own tactical weaknesses. Meanwhile, observers are looking ahead to potential matchups between sides like France and Spain. These are two of the most dominant teams in the tournament, but they are approaching their tactical setups through very different lenses. France uses an aggressive, high-pressing front four to force the issue. Spain, on the other hand, prefers a rigid system of ball retention to control the tempo. Both managers are facing a choice between risk and safety. If France adds a third midfielder to plug their defensive gaps, the game becomes a slog. If Spain sticks to their safe possession model, they risk falling behind to a single moment of French magic. They are essentially waiting for the other side to blink first. There is a genuine tension here between the beauty of the individual and the efficiency of the machine. England is banking on the idea that talent can cover for a lack of depth. France and Spain are banking on the idea that if they just stay organized enough, the other team will eventually make the mistake that decides the match. Honestly, both of these approaches feel like they are pushing toward a breaking point. England's reliance on players who are physically spent is a ticking clock. The defensive stalemate between France and Spain is a race to see who can be the most cautious. It is not exactly the kind of free-flowing football that sells tickets, but it is a hell of a look at how elite teams are managing the pressure of the tournament. We are watching a shift where the fear of tactical failure is currently winning the war against aggressive ambition. Whether that holds up when the matches actually kick off is anyone's guess. But right now, everyone seems terrified of being the first one to commit too many bodies forward. It is a cynical way to play, but in a tournament setting, it is hard to blame them for playing it safe. There are a few other things worth noting today. Software developers are increasingly finding that chasing validation from big tech platforms can be a losing game. Building for a proprietary ecosystem creates a dependency that can stifle innovation, while peer-to-peer collaboration offers a different path. It turns out that begging for a seat at the table just means you are waiting for the table owner to change the locks. Separately, social media is currently pushing people toward dangerous tanning trends. Biologically speaking, a tan is a clinical sign of cellular injury, not health. Your body is producing extra melanin in a desperate attempt to protect your DNA from ultraviolet damage. Finally, there is a push to stop viewing legacy systems like the Odyssey, pronounced Odyssey, as static relics. It was originally an oral tradition meant for constant adaptation by generations of bards. We should probably treat our own aging infrastructure the same way, assuming we want it to survive past the current performance. That is the midday update. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and I will see you back here tomorrow.